Well, we do indeed give everyone a very warm welcome to our meeting this evening. There's already been one welcome, and indeed we give you a double welcome. And indeed we would say that if it's your first time, don't make it your last time. You know, there was one of the hymns that we sung together, and I took note of some of the words in one of the verses, and it was this. In the third hymn we sung, the third verse, closed by saying this: "Salvation now this moment, then why, oh why delay? You may not see tomorrow, now is salvation's day." You know, they are quite solemn words, but indeed they are truthful words. And indeed it is something of that indeed I'm burdened to consider with the help of God this evening. And so I want to read just a few select passages from the Word of God. And firstly, please, in Job, in the Old Testament, the book of Job and chapter 7. Job and chapter 7. Just going to lift up one verse there. Job chapter 7, verse 1. "Is there not an appointed time to man upon earth? Are not his days also like the days of an hireling?" Is there not an appointed time to man upon earth? Now over just a few chapters to Job in chapter 14. Job chapter 14 and the fifth verse there, Job chapter 14, verse 5. "Seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee. Thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass." His days are determined, the number of his months are with thee. Now please into the New Testament, to James and chapter 4. James and chapter 4. And just one verse again there. James and chapter 4 and verse 14. "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." And a final reading, please, in Hebrews. Hebrews and chapter 9. Hebrews and chapter 9, verse 26. And we will read halfway through the verse. "But now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation." And we know that God will be pleased to add his blessing upon the reading of his most precious word this evening. Now, as we said, as we looked at the words of that hymn, indeed these are solemn truths, and the readings that we read together from the Word of God indeed set a tone for this meeting. Indeed, they are very solemn passages from the Word of God. Now, friend in the meeting this evening, I wonder, what do you make of the tone that we've set? for the gospel meeting. You know, there might be some who would say that, you know, you might just get a few more people along. If we just were to perhaps join in this weekend with the Jubilee celebrations and string up some bunting and set out some flags and maybe even make a Jubilee trifle, and you'll say, well, you might just get a few more people into the meeting if that was the tone for this meeting. My friend in the meeting this evening, make no mistake, I am a great admirer of Her Majesty the Queen. But indeed, we're not here to dwell upon the Queen, nor to think about some lovely anecdotes from her 70-year reign. Now, a friend in the meeting this evening, we are here and we are convening this meeting not with the purpose in view to entertain, nor to socialize, but to talk about your own soul and where it will spend eternity. And that is why we're here having the meeting this evening. Because we are dealing with things that are of an eternal and a weighty nature. And so that is why we set the tone that we do for the gospel meeting, because we are thinking about eternal matters. These are not matters that are to be made light of. These are not matters that are to be disregarded. These are things, and perhaps they might seem to be uncomfortable, but they are necessary that we deal with them from the Word of God. You know, I will just mention this about Her Majesty the Queen. And that is this, that as I was dipping in and out of the broadcast over the last 4 days, I was pleased that there was some comment given on the Friday, I believe it was, to what is the bedrock of the Queen and why it is that she has had this remarkable 70-year reign. And that bedrock in the life of Her Majesty the Queen was her faith in the risen Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, the commentators that were there, they reflected upon the various times when Her Majesty the Queen used to invite the American evangelist Billy Graham to Windsor Castle to preach, and the conversations that they used to have together. And they reflected upon the Queen and some of her own words of her faith in Christ in the coronation and in her various Christmas broadcasts. And so I was pleased that there was some comment given to the faith that our Queen has in a risen Christ. And in the Thanksgiving service itself, the Archbishop of York, and I never thought I'd quote him, he reflected upon her faith as a fountain overflowing with immense joy. Joy that we can live in the assurance that we are loved. Joy that God has a purpose for our lives. And joy that through Christ dying and rising again, there is, note this, promise of life eternal. And so, friend in the meeting this evening, you know, it would be wrong for us to presume about whether Her Majesty the Queen has indeed genuinely placed faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. For the Bible makes it clear that God only knows those that have repented from sins and put faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. But I do indeed trust that the things that were said about Her Majesty the Queen are indeed true. And I pray that they might be true of you too. That you have a faith in a risen Christ. Faith that is the promise of life eternal. That is what it's all about. It was not about the things that the Queen had done in her 70-year reign that mattered. What matters is what is after. And friend in the meeting this evening, where your faith is now, where your trust is now, determines where you will spend eternity. And faith in a risen, exalted, glorified Christ, the very Son of God, means indeed that you face an eternity of joy, of peace, of life eternal in heaven. But friend in the meeting this evening, if you have not faith in a risen Christ, if you've neglected these matters and put these matters off, and you're still in your sin, then far more, in a far more sober note, the eternity that awaits is a lost eternity in hell and the lake of fire. You know, this week as I was meditating upon these things and just considering what to take up this evening, you know, I was very burdened. And my burden was this, that there is a motto that people of the world have today, particularly people of my generation. And it is indeed a very solemn thing, I believe. And their motto is this, YOLO. Now, I'm not very good with these things, but to you and me, what that means is this. You only live once. That is the mindset of people in the world today. And they say that they are living in the moment. They say that they are seeking to live life to the full. Because you only live once, they say. But you know, friend, in the meeting of the evening, my burden is that you might just see that that is a very foolish mindset and attitude to have. And friend, in the meeting this evening, perhaps that is the mindset that you have as you enter into this meeting. You only live once. You have to live in the moment. You have to live life to the full. My friend, in the meeting this evening, indeed, if there's just three words that you might take away today, there'd be those three words that we read together in Hebrews and chapter 9. And may these three words indeed just prick your conscience. May indeed they convict your soul. And those three words are this. But after this, you only live once. But after this, you see, people, and perhaps it's true of you, are so caught up living in the moment because you only live once and you've got to live it to the full. And you're so caught up living in the moment that you neglect to think about what is after. You forget to think about where your own eternal soul will spend eternity. You know, eternity just cannot be comprehended. People are so caught up planning out the next week, the next year, the next 5 years, the next decade, the next 20 years. They're so caught up on the present that they lose sight of what is after. They lose sight of eternity. And that, my friend, in the meeting this evening, is a very solemn thing. And so what we want to do with the help of God is just indeed to consider what is after this. And by doing so, we want to just hinge some thoughts on a few simple headings just to help structure a little consideration. And those four headings are this. We want to think firstly about dying. Then we want to think about destiny. Then we want to think about deliverance. And then we want to think about our decision. So firstly, to think about dying. You know, it's not something you often consider. It's perhaps something that's not very often talked about. But you know, according to our recent YouGov survey, there's 27.5 million people in the UK tonight that are afraid of dying. 27.5 million people, about 41%. Frankly, I'm surprised it's not more. And you know what I also learned is that on average in the UK, there is 1,765 souls that pass through the veil of death and enter into eternity each day. And to put that into some kind of perspective, that means that in the hour duration of this meeting, 74 more deaths will be recorded on the register. 74 souls will have passed into eternity. And linking that with my YouGov survey, of those 74 souls, 30 of them were afraid of dying. Are you afraid of dying? I tell your friend in the meeting this evening, I'm not afraid of dying. There's many others in the meeting this evening, and they're not afraid of dying. You know why they're not afraid of dying? Because of a decision that they made to the deliverer. The decision that they made to the person of God's own Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and his death, his burial, and his glorious resurrection the third day. And because of faith in a risen Christ, there are many in this meeting, of which I'm amongst them, that can say that because Christ lives, I'm not afraid of dying. Because I know where I'm going. And I know what my eternal destiny is. No longer bound for hell and the lake of fire, but now heading home to heaven, the eternal kingdom, and all that awaits for every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I'm not afraid of dying, but are you? Are you? Do you have that assurance? What is your decision to the deliverer? You know, it's a sobering thing when you think of death. You know, perhaps there's someone in the meeting this evening and you say, well, no, I've not thought about dying. You say, I'm just a young man or woman. And you say, I've got the whole of my life laid up in front of me. And you say, maybe 20, 30 years down the line, I'll give these things some more thought. Well, you know, I've said it before, and I'll say it again. Now, you don't have to be alive too long before you know somebody your own age or younger who is now in eternity. Now, I think I was just 16 or 17 when one day I walked into school and was ushered up the stairs into a little meeting when I was told, with the rest of my peers in my year group, that somebody that I had sat next to for the last 5 or 6 years had died that night. 16, 17 years old. Passed away in her sleep. Tragic. Now in eternity. I think it was just last year. Somebody who used to be in my sister's year group, 14 or 15, was killed in a car accident driving between Knoll and Borsal Common. It's tragic. But indeed, it just shows that death doesn't just come to those that are old, you know. It can come while you're young. And the readings that I selected from the Word of God indeed remind us that indeed life at the very best is just very brief. That's what we read together in James in chapter 4 and verse 14. What is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. You know, the readings that we read together in Job, now they would teach me that indeed our days are numbered. What we read together in Job in chapter 7 verse 1 was this, that is there not an appointed time to man upon earth? And so man's time, and that is mankind, male and female, their time upon the earth has been appointed by the very one that made us, and that is God himself. And so there is an appointed time, whether that be 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, 60 years, 70 years, 80 years. There is an appointed time to man upon the earth. And Job in chapter 14 and verse 5 would make it explicitly clear that our days are determined. The number of his years, no, months, are with thee. And this is something that is determined in the very counsel of God himself. How long we shall live, and when we shall die. Solemn things. But you know, it is the truth that we're all dying, for the wages of sin is death, says the scriptures. And friend in the meeting this evening, these things should all the more cause us to take stock, to really consider these things the more honestly. Because, you know, none of us know what is on the morrow. I say this kindly. 74 souls will pass into eternity this very hour. What if you were among them? Solemn, isn't it? Where would you be? Where would you be? I trust you're not just marked by a YOLO attitude. You only live once. You have to live in a moment. You have to live life to the full. You know, I was thinking just last week as Andy Mullen was speaking and considering that parable with us in Luke chapter 12 of that rich man whose ground brought forth plentifully. You know, I reckon he was a man who was marked by a YOLO attitude. He was a man who was just living in the moment. He was a man who was just living life to the full. He poured down his barns to build greater, to eat, to drink, and to be merry. There's no thought of eternity with him. There's no thought about dying with him. No thought about what destination his soul would be in. He was living in the moment, because you only live once. And then God ended that man's sorry little life, and he entered into eternity. Friend of the meeting this evening, you know, these are solemn things. And you know, we just trust that we bring them to you from the word of God in love. But these are things that need to be heard, and things that needed to be heeded and responded to, that indeed we know not what is on the tomorrow, and our life is as but a vapor. And so, friend in the meeting this evening, do not be marked by putting these things off until tomorrow, because salvation is today. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. God in his grace has given today as an opportunity to repent from your sins and to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who loved you and gave himself for you. It's a gift of God that he's giving you this very moment. He hasn't given you tomorrow. I mean, in his grace he may, but we cannot guarantee it. Boast not myself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. And you know, the Old Testament could say about how God could say how a spirit would not always strive with man. And God is working today, and God in his grace has brought you to this meeting this evening to hear of the words of truth again, to hear of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and his once for all sacrifice at the place called Calvary. Indeed, friend in the meeting this evening, don't put these things off. We're dying. And in friend in the meeting this evening, there is opportunity now to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But tomorrow might be too late. So, we've thought about dying. Let's think about destiny or destination. That is just in our little consideration. Pass through that veil of death and to think about where your soul will spend eternity. Because the Bible makes it clear that it will be in one of two places. Read Matthew in chapter 7. And there you will read about a straight gate. A way that leads to life. So that's one location your soul could be. And there's another gate. A broad gate. That leads to destruction. And friend, in the meaning this evening, whether your soul is in the former or in the latter depends on your response and your decision to the great deliverer, the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you have neglected or rejected God's offer of mercy, fallen free salvation through faith in his name, then I'm afraid, friend, in the meeting this evening, to tell you that the destination that awaits is the latter. A lost eternity. Place of destruction. That is the judgment that we read of in Hebrews in chapter 9. And as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. You know what that word judgment is? Comes from the Greek word crisis. I think that's quite appropriate. This is indeed a great crisis. This is indeed something that needs to be given your immediate attention. And this is a judgment that has in view the last judgment that you'll read about in Revelation in chapter 20. When the dead, those that have not believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, stand before the great white throne and the Lord Jesus Christ who sits thereon. And that great judgment ends with this final verdict that whosoever was not found written in the Lamb's book of life was cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And so that is where your soul will spend an eternity if you have not decided for Christ. If you have not repented of your sins and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what the Bible makes abundantly clear is where your soul will reign. We'll spend eternity. You know, perhaps these are things that you scoff at. Perhaps these are things that you make light of. Perhaps you say, well, I don't believe that there's such a place called hell. How confident are you? Let me reason with you. How confident are you that you're right and that the Bible's wrong? Is it something that you are willing to gamble your eternal soul on? Because that is what is at stake. Go back to Luke 16 as I was just reflecting on it earlier. Here was this man, a wealthy man. He had pulled down his barns to build greater. What was at stake for him? Did God come and take his riches? Did God come and take his goods? God took his soul. That's what's at stake. So friend, in the meeting this evening, if you say that you don't believe that there is a place called hell and the lake of fire, how confident are you that you're right? Is it something that you're prepared to risk your eternal soul? Don't be so foolish. God is gracious in his word that he has given us an eyewitness account of somebody who was there. You'll read about that in Luke chapter 16. Two men die. One goes and is taken into Abraham's bosom. The other was buried. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. I say that's a parable. Is it? The Lord Jesus Christ does not present it as a parable, as he does with his other parables. In fact, the Lord Jesus Christ gives us the name of the man who was taken to Abraham's bosom. You never have that in the parables. This is no parable. God has given us a little lens, allowing us to look, as it were, right through the veil of death, right through into eternity. And it's a real man. A real man. And he's there in the lake of fire. He's tormented in this flame. You know, as I reread that passage earlier, you know, the hairs of my neck stood up. These are hair-raising matters. You're reading of a man who's there in hell, tormented in this flame. So I ask you again, are you sure it's not a real place? Are you willing to gamble your own soul? Don't be so foolish. Decide for Christ. For he is the great deliverer. And wouldn't you rather know that you're not going to hell in a lake of fire? Wouldn't you rather know that you are saved, you have been made righteous, that you have peace with God, and you have a living relationship with him, and can address him as your father? And these are the things that you can enter into now, and then you look forward to a coming day when the Lord Jesus Christ will come, will take all the believers home to be with him in heaven, and then be anticipating all the things that will happen in the coming days, and then what the Bible would call the eternal state, and everything that is laid up for the believer. Wouldn't you rather have that assurance rather than taking a risk and solemnly heading for a lost eternity in hell in the lake of fire? Decide for Christ. Your time is gone. Almost. But you know, we must come to consider the deliverer. Because there is a great deliverer for the great problem that we have, the problem of our sin. And he is the one of whom we read of in Hebrews in chapter 9. He is the one whom we read has once in the end of the world appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. He is the one who was once offered to bear the sins of men. That's in verse 28. You know, the world is looking for a deliverer, you know. I watched an interesting video, courtesy of a channel on YouTube called Wretched Radio. And this channel was, this video was asking the question why these superhero films that Hollywood churns out are so popular. You know, it's interesting that 4 of the top 10 highest grossing films are superhero films. And, you know, what the video was bringing out was that these films are so popular because there is a natural inclination in the heart of man to look for an all-powerful deliverer. To look for one who is objectively good. To look for one who has a selfless longing to bring deliverance, for good to overcome evil. And that is a natural inclination in the heart of man. And so, friend in the meeting this evening, if you're looking for a deliverer, don't be looking to Hollywood. Look to Christ. He is the great deliverer. He is the one who hath appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. He was the one who was once offered to bear the sins of many. You know, here, friend in the meeting this evening, the Hebrew writer, he's just been comparing the Old Testament sacrifices that needed to be continually offered for a covering for sin. And then he brings out one, the Lord Jesus Christ, and his once for all sacrifice for sins forever. Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. Now it begs the question, well, why was there a need for continual offering up of Old Testament sacrifices, but the Lord Jesus Christ only need to be offered once? Well, it's because the Old Testament sacrifices were insufficient. They were imperfect. And so they needed to be continually offered up. Not so with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he is the perfect sacrifice. He is the one that the Bible would make explicitly clear was completely sinless and spotless and pure. He is the one who did no sin, who knew no sin, the one in whom there is no sin. He is indeed the very Son of God, as proved in his miracles, when he could still the troubled seas, when he could restore sight to the blind, healing to the deaf, speech to the dumb, as he could heal the leper, as he could make the dead arise again. The Lord Jesus Christ was proved to be the very Son of God, the sinless Son of God. And because of who he is, he is able to be the deliverer. Because he offered himself once there at the place called Calvary. One sacrifice for sins forever. You know, as we've thought about this little message, there's been solemn things. But you know, don't miss this. That the gospel message is a message of good news. It is a message of hope. It is a message that can bring peace. It is a message that can bring joy. And it is all because of the work of Christ there at the place called Calvary. You see, as we read these verses together in Hebrews in chapter 9, we could have just ended at verse 27. And as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment. You know, the God, as he inspired the writing of Scripture, could have stopped there. And we could not object to it. Because that is what we deserve. Because we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God, we deserve the judgment of God. A lost eternity in hell and in the lake of fire, that is what our sins deserve. And the Scriptures could have stopped there, but it didn't. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. Praise God. There is a deliverer. There is a deliverer. God himself came into this scene of time in the person of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who lived that perfect, spotless life of obedience to God his Father, and went to the place called Calvary to there be the sinner's substitute. You know, there's a hymn in the hymn book, and I love it. We didn't sing it, but it goes like this. A couple of verses. God could not pass the sinner by. His sins demand that he must die. But in the cross of Christ we see how God can save. Yet righteous be. The judgment fell on Jesus' head. By his blood, by his shed blood, sin's debt is paid. God's justice will demand no more, and mercy can dispense her store. Is this not the truth we have here in Hebrews in chapter 9? It's appointed unto man once to die, but after this a judgment. God could not pass the sinner by. His sins demand that he must die. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. Praise God. There's a deliverer. There is one who has passed into death and who has risen again the third day. And therefore he is what the Corinthian letter would refer to as the first fruits of them that slept. There is one who has died, who paid the price for your sin and mine, and who rose again, who has risen, and now gone to heaven. As the first fruit, the first of many, all those who believe on him. And that is why, friend and meaning this evening, there is a great deliverer. But What is your decision? What is your decision going to be? Are you just going to go around with a YOLO mindset? You only live once, you've got to live in a moment, live life to the full. Never think about eternity. What a great folly that would be. That is to head straight for a lost eternity. You know, there's super fast fiber broadband that's been rolled out across the country. You say, that's random. You only come into the good of that broadband if you link onto it. Friend in the meeting this evening, there's a great provision for the great problem of sin. The Lord Jesus Christ bore our sins in his own body on the tree. But to come into the good of it, you need to, by faith, link onto it. You need to come to the foot of the cross, realizing that you were a guilty, helpless, vile sinner, deserving a lost eternity in hell and the lake of fire. But realizing that wonder of wonders, God has sent his Son to be the sinner's substitute. And by placing faith and trust in him, you come into the good of that provision that was made at the place called Calvary. You can know the cleansing power of the blood. You can know your sins forgiven, you can know peace with God, and you can now know a new eternal destination, heaven, as your home. But you need to link onto it. Decide for Christ. There's a poem that says this: life is short, death is sure, sin the cause, Christ the cure. Friend of the meeting this evening, 74 souls pass into eternity. What if you were one? Where would you be? Should we close in prayer?